This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I am a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me is the man, the boss, the fearless leader of NinerNoise.com, Peter Panacey. How are we doing there, Peter?
To be honest with you, not good. Really? Yeah.
It's a rough day.
Not good.
Rough day, rough week. You know, it's kind of at that point in the season where you got to take a cold, hard look at yourself in the mirror and wonder why you subject yourself to this every week.
This is true. You feel that. It's definitely been one of those points for sure. You're kind of staring at it and you're going, what exactly is happening? Like, the yelling at the television gets worse because you're just confused by everything. I agree. It's definitely, the rest of the week has been fine for me, but it's certainly been, the cloud hanging over everything. When every once in a while you're like, things are okay. And then you're like, 49ers lost to Colt McCoy on Sunday and whatever. I don't know what just happened there. Like that was, pretty much like, I think it's safe to say their worst game of the season that they played, across the board. It was a pretty embarrassing way to lose, and I think it's certainly sent the season into, a tailspin of sorts. We thought we were getting out of it and then maybe we weren't. So, I think it's certainly a strange place to be from a fan perspective. Peter, I know you've written a lot on the sort of state of the 2021 team as we've kind of had this up and down thing. Just kind of generally speaking, what do you, we're kind of in that midway point. So, and I'll sum it up for us. What do you think this team is at this point in 2021, based not only on the game that we just saw, but what they've been throughout the first half of the season?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think it's what you've seen. It's a 3-5 team. It's a 3-5 team that's not executing on offense. It's a 3-5 team that plays too much emphasis on players who really weren't going to stay healthy, and particularly in the secondary, where you look at the three main culprits who you were wondering about injury wise, Jimmy Ward, Jaquaski Tartt, and Jason Verrett, and guess what? They're all out. And that's what you get out of this. The pass rush, or D Ford, got to mention him because he's on injured reserve too. So just so much faith on players who've been injured. And then part of me is also just kind of digging into the whole notion that that things are disjointed within the locker room. Although, just wanted to pass this along to our loyal listeners. We did have a little bit of a conversation with one Kyle Juszczyk about this. So we're fortunate enough to be having Kyle on the pod here a little bit. So yes, your 49ers fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. We asked him kind of how do you get out of this whole funk. So be sure to stick around for that. But yeah, as far as what you're seeing, yeah, it's a 3-5 team. And what's so frustrating about it is that this was the year that injuries weren't going to play a big role. This was going to be kind of what everybody was expecting in 2020. And well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of make you wonder about the 2020 team. And I think it's safe to say that team probably overperformed, right? Like the 6-10 record was probably way better than that team had any business finishing with. And it just feels like this team is going to end up right around that same place, right? I mean, how can you really look at this team and say, oh, they're going to win a lot more games than the team from last year did, in spite having reasonably better health, at least so far. But as we'll talk about in a minute, those things are mounting, as that always seems to be the case. But it's weird. Like, it's a really strange thing. I don't, it'll be interesting to hear from Juszczyk later on that.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing that I have to throw this out here, and it's just kind of like the epitome of being a 49ers fan right now. And this goes beyond writing about, like, okay, gosh, young players who need to play more, or talking about, hey, look, when are you going to start Trey Lance? Great. All that stuff's fine.
It's been talked about. You read about it everywhere. Two things. One, the 49ers are paying for all the fees on Ticketmaster for games.
I did see that. Now. I saw that come through.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my. Yeah, guess what? It's a bad product on the field. So now you're worried about another empty Levi's Stadium. Yeah. And so that, and then the other player who I've been saying this for years, and for whatever reason, like 49ers Twitter or 49ers Facebook, whatever, has just been responding back. No, you wait and see. He's going to be great. Jalen Hurd waived. And it's like, yeah, this is something that should have happened probably a year ago at the very latest.
For sure.
During the preseason this year, where it was like, yeah, he's not getting better. We need to move on. Yeah. So that's in the news today. We're recording this here on a Thursday night, and there's your additional state of the franchise. The day the Los Angeles Rams ink Odell Beckham Jr., 49ers wave Jalen Hurd.
Those two moves
are two franchises.
Yeah, those two moves are right in line with one another, right? That's the same thing, basically.
There's your trajectories.
Tells you a lot about where these two teams are heading for sure now. Yeah. And of course, these two teams are facing off against one another on Monday Night Football this week, which is the first of those discounted ticket fee-free tickets that the Niners are trying to pawn off. I did notice, though, when you go to the website, it is still the most expensive game on the lot. But you can go see the 49ers play the Texans for starting at $69 with no fees, in case you want to gouge your eyeballs out or something like that. It's real disappointing. That's for sure. We press forward as it were, even though there will be, some 49ers who will not be pressing forward with us for the remainder of this season. And that is my very bad segue into conversations about injury and other roster related news. Of course, the casualty list coming out of the Sunday game was not just the sort of embarrassment of losing to Colt McCoy, who was never good, but losing several players that look like they're not likely to see the field for a long while. The biggest among them, of course, is tackle Mike McGlinchey, who tore his quad, which that sounds like really painful. On the scale of bad things that I wouldn't want to have happen, I feel like that would be a very painful injury. And so he's going to have, I believe, if they decided if he's having surgery so far, as of yet, or is it just kind of like they're shelving him and he might need surgery later? I don't know what the latest.
I think it's the latter. I'm not sure if he's going to have surgery on that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. That sounds painful. I mean, I think of either that or a pectoral tear as like the two. I'm like, ah,
for sure,
man.
Yeah. I think I saw something roaming around, you know, there's like that resident. I don't remember the guy's name, but he's like this doctor that comes in and comments on all the NFL injuries. And he's like, oh yeah, like it's going to be this and that. He said, apparently depending on where the tear is could depend on whether or not he needs surgery or whether or not it'll just kind of be like a it will repair itself kind of thing. So hopefully in his case, it's the more of the non-surgical route. Cause if I'm not mistaken, this is like a potential, if it's really bad, this is the kind of thing that could lead to like career derailment kind of thing. And that would put obviously McGlinchey in a bad place because he'd lose his livelihood at this point. But also I believe the 49ers are already on the hook for his contract, which would not be an ideal way to pay whatever $16 million for a tackle when he can't play for you. That would be
fully guaranteed 5th-year options. Yeah. So that's already picked up there.
That's unfortunate timing. So, and you know, he's much maligned, I know, by a lot of 49ers fans, but I think he was having an okay season. And the drop off was quite obvious when they ran Tom Compton out there on Sunday. So you got to hope for the best for McGlinchey. The 49ers consequently put him on the injured reserve, and they elevated Colton McKivitz from the practice squad. They also released linebacker Christian Ellis, who I only know because I mentioned his name a couple of weeks ago, that they added him to the practice squad. It sounds like it's a tough life to be an NFL practice squad player. You just get dropped and thrown around and re-signed and all that fun stuff. Further injury news, Mohamed Sanu likely out for a few weeks, probably heading to the IR. The knee injury, gee, I wonder when that happened. Just saying. Safety Tavon Wilson, who was already filling in for an injured Jimmy Ward, is likely also heading to the IR with a foot injury. And then some injuries for Dre Kirkpatrick, who's day-to-day with an ankle injury, and Josh Norman, who is limited thus far with a rib injury. But that's not all. Peter, have you had a chance to take a look at the quite extensive practice report from today's first practice? Because obviously with the Monday night game, they didn't start the week of practices until today. It's really long.
One,
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 did not practices, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 limited practices. Lovely.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. And you know, I was writing kind of a pre-betting piece over for NinerNoise.com, just trying to get everything squared away. And I was looking at the comparison of the two the two injury reports.
Yeah.
And it was just floored by the differences between the Rams. And you know, I was like, well, hey, Von Miller's on the Rams, but he hasn't played yet. The Rams are still 7-2, so maybe that doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah, it's lengthy. Now, of course, I'm looking at you know, defensive lineman Eric Armstead, you know, he was limited with a neck injury. George Kittle's probably going to be nursing that calf injury and just kind of be held back. Elijah Mitchell, a little banged up with the rib injury, of course. And then our favorite Josh Norman, also with a rib injury. Those were the limited in practice types.
Yeah.
But you know what, this does kind of just offer up the thought here. And I know with each passing loss that happens, and unless you're a fool, you'd probably bank on the Niners losing again this Monday. This is going to open up the door for all of, it's going to open up the door. It doesn't matter. I mean, if Kyle Shanahan's going to push him through, but it's going to open up the door for your actual young players to start playing. So, you know, if Kirkpatrick's hurt, great. Diamador Lenore needs to be out there. I don't mean great.
Yeah,
in terms
yeah,
of
I know,
like
I know.
Great, like great, but like, you know, like okay, great, fine. You need to figure out next man up philosophy.
And yeah,
then same thing with Josh Norman. Like at this point, and it's going to sound silly, but yes, I would rather lose games with players are going to be here the next 2-3 years or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned Tom Compton. He's a free agent next year. There's no point of him.
He was a free agent already, and they brought him back anyway.
Really? Yeah. I mean, he's a free agent next year. There's no reason to play him unless you literally like have nobody else on game day.
Correct.
So fine. Put in Jalen Moore, or heck, you know, say Daniel Brunskill's a little bit better at tackle. I don't know, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, put in Aaron Banks. Trey Sermon's probably going to get a little bit of a shot. You might have heard John Lynch talk about that earlier today on KNBR with Jamichael Hasty banged up with a with the ankle. So, but yeah, play the young guys.
Yeah.
You might as well at this point. You have nothing to lose but games, and those are already losing anyway with veterans.
Correct. Yeah, totally agree. Wrote about that. That's should be coming up sometime later in the week or something soon, writing about it. It's just time. The time has come, so they say. But yeah, so all of this happens in light of the aforementioned hosting of the Rams on Monday Night Football. A Rams team that is probably going to come in pretty angry based on playing pretty poorly and losing to the Titans on Sunday night last week. And then, as you mentioned, they signed Odell Beckham because their offense hadn't been scoring enough points or something. I'm not really sure quite the rationale there. It seems probably unlikely that he'll be ready to go for Monday night. So at least they'll escape that fun, but they'll see him again, I'm sure, the final week of the season. So this might seem like an exercise in futility, given how we've both already talked about this game, but we're gonna try anyway, and see. We're gonna talk about, you know, the reason for optimism and a reason for concern, and try to, you know, maintain the single reason for concern heading into this game against the Rams. So Peter, I'll let you start. What is there reason to be optimistic about this game, like at all? from your perspective.
You know what? Sure, there is. You know what that reason is that the NFL is just so weird this season. Mm. So that is literally it.
Yeah.
You think about some of the weird games that have happened like over the course of the season.
Just on Sunday.
Yeah, just this last Sunday was weird enough. Like you go back and watch the who was it? It was the Jaguars pulling off
9-6
9-6 win over the Bills. The Cowboys getting shut out until late in the fourth quarter by the Broncos, and it's just like how does this happen? Yep. The weirdest things are happening this year. I mean, the Giants beating the Raiders was kind of weird. The Bengals, I remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, they were looking like they were going to be a top dog in the AFC, and now they look terrible.
Right.
I mean, so that's the reason.
Nobody's good.
Hope. And I just keep thinking to myself, all right, every time I kind of have an idea what's going to happen, like going into last week, like, okay, this is going to be a game the 49ers beat the Cardinals up, you know, pretty soundly, and it doesn't happen. Now I'm going into this going, hey, you just by the way the year's played out, 49ers are going to win this one like 28-17. And I'm just going to be like, I have no idea what to make of the world anymore. No. That's my reason of hope. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much on the same wavelength as you there. Mine is, it's not really related to football in any way, shape or form. So you're like the weirdness of the season. And mine is that it kind of seems like Kyle Shanahan really likes beating up on Sean McVay's teams and seems to of late had his number a little bit. The Niners have won 4 straight against the Rams. And of course, remember that they only won 6 games last year and 2 of them were against this Rams team. Now the Rams were kind of mediocre last year, but you know, the 49ers beat them up. And, I don't know what it is. My guess is that Shanahan just really enjoys kind of taking it to his former Washington colleague. He actually has a winning record against McVay so far. During his tenure, they've faced 8 times. Shanahan 5-3 against McVay and the Rams in that time in San Francisco. And 2 of those 3 wins came in 2018, which is, you know, the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl and won like 13 games or something like that. And the Niners were running C.J. Beathard and then Nick Mullins out at quarterback that season. And then, of course, the other win, if I'm not mistaken, was the very first time they played each other. Which that crazy, was it Monday night? No, it was a Thursday night game, I think. Cause I remember the black Niner, it was Brian Hoyer in the black Niners jerseys against the mustard yellow Rams jerseys. And
God, you know,
the Pierre Garçon, air quotes, offensive pass interference at the end of the game that would have set the Niners up to possibly win the game, but it ended up losing them the game when, you know, Garçon kind of went up and sort of nudged the defender. That it was like, that game was crazy. It was like 38-36 or some crazy score.
I think back in then, I think the Ram, that was the Thursday night game, the 49ers lost, but it was like super high score.
Yeah, yeah,
like
41-38
or something like that. But they won again. I think it was week 17. That was pretty convincing, but the Rams were playing their backups.
Right.
So yeah. But that was a wild game. It was the RGB, whatever jerseys, and then the mustard yellow.
Yeah. And Brian Hoyer almost winning a football
Brian game. Hoyer.
There you go. Know.
Hey, things could be worse, 49er fans. Things really could be worse. They could have Brian Hoyer under center.
So, yeah. So, my optimism is not wildly different from yours, other than just like, maybe this is the kind of game that Shanahan's like, you know what? I'm going out. I'm going to get this guy. Like, I'm getting him. I'm figuring it out. Like, I think they ran the ball like 40 times in one of the games last year that they won with Mullins under center. And it's just like, we can't beat them in a traditional way. So we're just going to go out there and just do weird things. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this one, but history may be on our side. This is a very flimsy reason for optimism, but that's pretty much what I got heading into this game. So there we go. That's my optimism. Peter, what about concern for you?
Let's see. I guess
we want to keep this under an hour.
Yeah, four player names. I'd probably say. Let's see. Here's your cause for concern. Josh Norman, Drake Kirkpatrick. I'll throw in Emmanuel Mosley into that mix. Talanoa Hufanga, who I think is going to be a really good player, but hey, as far as going up against Tyler Higbee and that Rams offense, no, I don't even know who's going to play safety now if Tavon Wilson's out. Probably have to be Tony Jefferson, and I can't remember the last time he played. I think it was 2019. But yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work out against Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp. Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't need to even be out there yet.
This is true.
I mean, the Rams are the number five scoring offense in the NFL coming into this week. They don't need OBJ to run up the score against the 49ers. So simple concern there.
Fair,
the secondary.
Fair point. Yeah. I think there is some like potential that Jimmy Ward might be able to play, but I think it would probably be, I don't think it's like the strongest. I think it's going to be one of those things where we'll just have to see how the week goes through, because I think they'd call it a 1 to 2 week injury, but they also said that about Trey Lance, and we haven't seen him since Arizona the first time. So there you go. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I had all these numbers I was going to talk about, like, you know, they're third in offensive DVOA or third overall in DVOA and second in offensive DVOA and third in passing. They're also really good on defense, fourth overall in DVOA on defense. The weakest part of their team in that regard is against the run, but they're still pretty decent against the run, 14th in the NFL, you know, so top half the league. Also, if the DVOA doesn't do it for you, I got some, you know, some EPA expected points added per play, in which they are ranked offensively in number three in the NFL. And they are adding almost 0.3 of a point every time they drop back to throw, which essentially just means they're pretty successful. That's first in the league on that, in that regard. And then on defense, they're eighth in terms of expected points added. I guess technically expected points taken away from the other team. I'm not really sure 100% how the metrics works in that regard. And then on top of everything else, Matthew Stafford is just like playing really well, just as most people had expected him to in this Sean McVay offense. He's actually the highest rated quarterback in terms of EPA per play so far in the NFL. Fun fact, Jimmy Garoppolo, number 10 in the NFL by that metric. So, I don't know what that says to anybody, but it just means that when he's playing, he's been all right. But the number I found very interesting is this play success rate that I got from this with the EPA per play. And basically what that says is how many of the plays where of his dropbacks is he above zero in terms of whether of points added, and he's at 54%. So 54% of his plays add some more than zero expected points to their number. Interestingly, the two players in front of him, as far as quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes in second place and Ryan Tannehill in first. So go figure. He's also the Football Outsider's second most valuable quarterback in terms of an overall basis, which is based on that defense adjusted yards above replacement metric. And then he's fifth in DVOA. So basically what I'm saying to you is that the Rams are good, and they've been playing good in pretty much all facets of the game, minus special teams where their numbers seem to be a little bit low. But Matthew Stafford's having a great season. Cooper Kupp, obviously, as you noted, currently leading the NFL in receiving yards, although I think I read today that Deebo Samuel technically has a leg up on him in terms of yards per game because he's played one fewer game. But you said it. I mean, this is going to be a tough offense for the 49ers to figure out a way to stop. And they just don't have the bodies at this point. And it's very concerning in that regard. I don't really know how else to say it. So Peter, pretty much just goes along with the things you're saying about how the 49ers just don't have the bodies to in the secondary or really in a lot of places along the defensive on the defense to really get the job done. And it just, there are a lot more areas of concern than there are reasons for optimism. It's hard to point at something that the Niners have done well through eight games and go, okay, if they can do more of that, then they might be able to be okay. And that's just where we are.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I hope, you know, we'll talk about with Kyle here in a little bit is kind of figuring out a way to get out of that. Like, okay, so you have who you have, and you've heard Jimmy Garoppolo say this, John Lynch, like, hey, you know, we need to be happy with the guys we have in this room. You know, you can always look to improve, but you know, there's no big time players coming to help you out anymore. There's no trade that's going to bring you a perennial Pro Bowler. So what do you do as a player to get out of this? And obviously you can play young guys. Maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't, but how do you get off the funk? So, that's the only way forward, you know. Mm-hmm. And worst case, I keep remembering we've gone through some two win seasons before. Honestly, I think a year like this is more frustrating because it's like the expectations are so mm-hmm. much higher.
Yeah.
2016, it was going to be terrible. Everybody knew it. They could prepare for it. This was supposed to be a playoff year, and So hey, figure out your way through it.
And you know, not to be overly optimistic, but there's still a way there. There's that seventh playoff spot that they're technically only like a game out of right now. But as I don't know, I kick that around. I know people are still like holding on to that, like this, you know, grasping at straws thing. I'm not really sure there's a whole lot of benefit to the team as currently constructed with the players that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, like scratching and clawing their way to the seventh seed only to get like pounded on the road at some team, like maybe this Rams team again, or maybe, you know, Tampa Bay or Green, whoever the second seed is that they'll have to play on the road in the first round of the playoffs. Now, if you could talk me into like all of a sudden Kyle Shanahan's going to have a change of heart and he's going to be like, you know what, let's let the kids play. And then the kids make it happen and they somehow scratch and claw their way into a playoff game, then I'm totally on board with that. But I just don't know if this group has enough in it to even do that, nor do I even know if that benefits anybody, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The only thing it can benefit is long-term. I mean, and each week that goes along, the focus has to be bigger on 2022. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. It just does.
No, I
mean,
I agree.
You know, another division loss. That means the 49ers will be 0-4 within mm-hmm. NFC West play. And yeah, that seventh wild card seed is going to be there. But what happens when you kind of fall behind in that regard is trying to leapfrog over the teams that are ahead of you because of tiebreakers and so right. on. So
yeah,
focus needs to be on.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And you know, I think there's a really good chance that they don't win any division games this year. I actually just had a prediction, win loss prediction for the rest of the season came out, and it was just all about that kind of thing. And I ended up predicting no wins for the rest of the regular season in terms of division games, which would be just a sad way to go. So let's go ahead and wrap this up with quick predictions for the game, and then we'll get into the interview that you did with Kyle Juszczyk. So I don't see a way the Niners win this. So I think it's a blowout, and I think it's going to be one of those games where those of us on the East Coast are going to be getting a halftime and going, okay, what am I doing here? Is it time to go to bed? What's the decision? So I'm going to say something like 34-14 Rams are going to get the win. Peter, what do you think?
I'm surprised that we're that close. I was going to go 34-17. Yeah. That was the prediction piece that I put up together over at nice. Niner Noise. It'll come look out. I was trying to take a look at some of the over under. I'm like, I think the over under currently set by WinBet right now, I think it's at 49 points. And I was like, well, I'll go with the under. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, the over.
No, oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be the 49ers getting a lot of that.
I was going to say the Rams could get to the over by themselves.
Exactly. I was thinking, okay, probably. So I'll go with with 34-17 just to reach that over. But I think it'll be a lot like some of the other 49ers games we've seen. The Rams will be out by like three scores by the time it's the third quarter. And, you know, the 49ers get some points towards the end of the game to make it interesting, make the score seem closer than the game was. Yeah.
Sad, but true. Well, let's make that a nice transition into the interview with 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk and see what thoughts he has about the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he's got some pretty good ideas that people will want to hear. And plus, he's a cool dude. Ask him a few things about what position he'd like to play and maybe some little things that he's still looking to do in his career. So, awesome. Yeah, let's turn it on over to that.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. So anyway, I'm here with the one and only fullback of your 49ers joining us here on Niner Noise. This is Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle's here on behalf of Dick's Sporting Goods, part of the Sports Matter Giving Truck, helping out local nonprofits deliver goods and services for underprivileged communities. And so, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us here. It's a privilege and a pleasure to have you aboard. First, just tell me, how'd you get involved with Dick's Sporting Goods, Sports Matter Giving Truck? What kind of role are you looking to play there?
Yeah, so I've always been very passionate about youth sports. I think it can have such an impact on young people and just on them for the rest of their lives, because I know what an impact youth sports had on me and what the coaches were able to do and developing me and just into a man. And so when Dick's Sporting Goods reached out to me about the giving truck, I was all in right away, because this is right up my alley. I was so excited to be involved. And so they're going to be taking the giving truck to 8 different cities here along the West Coast, and they're going to be showing up to underprivileged athletic programs and providing sports equipment for those programs, which I'm super excited about. And so my involvement will be, I'll be making a virtual appearance for the group via video technology on the giving truck, and just trying to encourage these kids to go out there and enjoy themselves and be as involved with sports as they can be.
That is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I used to run a nonprofit for many years, so I certainly can appreciate that when you start to see the rewards pile in and those young kids having the opportunity to get involved with sports and everything like that. That certainly makes a difference, and that's awesome to hear. So, well, anyway, you know, it's hard to sugarcoat things. I know that the 49ers are going through some struggles right now. Sunday's loss to the Cardinals doesn't really help matters too much, especially with the tough matchup against the Rams coming up. But you've been around the league for a while now. You've been in these situations before. How does a team that's struggling kind of get off the schneid? Like, what are some of the specific things that you have to do to kind of right the ship, to use whatever cliche you want?
Yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, it's just getting back to work. And it sounds a little cliche and a little simple, but that's what it is. And sometimes the answer really is simple. At the end of the day, no matter what happens in the previous game, whether it's win or loss, the only option you have is to come back to work and put everything into it. Because there's no option of coming in and, you know, giving half effort and not doing everything you absolutely can to win in the next week, because, I mean, why would we be here if that was the case? Everybody here wants to win. Everybody's all in, and we all want the best for our team and for ourselves individually. And so the only way to do that is just to be completely devoted to what we're doing during the week, and knowing that putting in that work during the week will pay off on Sundays, or in this case, Monday night.
Yeah, so you've been in the league for a while now, which certainly helps. You've seen it all. You've been on, you know, some good teams. You've been on some bad teams where things are kind of rebuilding, including the 49ers way back when, 2017. As someone who's versatile as you are, you know, does a lot of different things on the offense, you carry a lot of weight in that locker room. You know, you've got a lot of younger players on that team too, who might not necessarily have gone through this sort of thing, at least at the pro level. What would be your message to some of those players who haven't necessarily experienced this, or kind of trying to cut their teeth and are going through some NFL level struggles right at the very beginning of their careers?
Yeah, you know, I stress to our young guys a lot just what a week to week league this is, and how quickly things can change. And there's so many examples that you can point to. You know, just 2 weeks ago, Bengals are on top of the league, and they're, you know, going to be one of the best teams. And after a quick two losses, now they're, you know, they're at the bottom of their division. And for us, I always talk in games about how it can really, things can change in one play. Things can be going so well in a game, and or even the opposite. I think about our game against Philadelphia. We were really struggling in the first half. Three and out, I think, on like our first three series. Defense, the ball was getting moved, but luckily enough, they were keeping them out of the end zone. And, you know, it's 6-0, but it seems like we're down by three touchdowns. And then all of a sudden, took one play from Deebo Samuel to spring us down there. We score a touchdown. We go into halftime up 7-6. And that's what it is on the broader scope of things, too. All it takes is just one game. We can come out here, get a big win on Monday night against the Rams, a formidable opponent, a team that we feel confident about, but somebody that we know is a very good team. And that could be all it takes to really spring us forward for the rest of this year. So that's what I'm always trying to stress to these young guys, is that things can turn around so quickly. And as bad as things look right now, they can look just as good tomorrow if we go out and get a win this week.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, too. And you see the highs and lows go through over the course of a season, and learning how to kind of ride the wave is certainly interesting enough and hopefully a good message to pass along. So kind of speaking of riding the wave, let's go back to the offseason. You were a free agent. 49ers fans were worried you might not come back. Some might wondered if you were going to follow like Robert Saleh, Mike LaFleur over to the Jets or something like that. You know, did the Jets or anyone else make serious offers to bring you aboard during the offseason? Were you close to going somewhere else? Or were you like dead set on returning to San Francisco, returning to the Niners and being like, let's get this deal done. I want to be here. What was that whole process like?
Yeah, no, I think it's important to note at the beginning, at the end of the day, I wanted to be with the Niners. I absolutely love it here. I love this organization. I love being in Kyle's offense. I love working with Mike McDaniel and Bobby Turner. I think they're at the absolute top of their professions, and just a joy to come to work every single day. I've really enjoyed my role here, and you know, being able to be utilized in the ways that they do with me here. But with all that being said, I needed to hear out the offers from other teams and explore those opportunities. Really a lot for, you know, off the field. You know, it is tough. I'm an East Coast guy, and it's tough being out here on the West Coast by myself with, you know, no family and really just my teammates. So I had to explore what other options would be out there and if they were realistic. And, you know, I just had to weigh them against what I had here. And basically at the end of the day, I did have some viable offers, but none of them could compare with what I have here. And that's why I signed before free agency officially began, because by that point I felt like I had gotten enough information out there and knew what my options were, and being back here in San Francisco was by far my best option. So I got it signed and got back to work right away.
Well, the Niners are sure glad that worked out. I know I am, and a lot of fans are too. So glad you didn't go anywhere. Appreciate that. So the Rams are coming to town. You mentioned them a little bit. It's a team that you've had success against in recent years, and you know them well. But you think the Rams, the defense that you're going to be going up against, you think Aaron Donald, is he one of the toughest defensive players you've ever gone up against, you know, period? Is he the toughest guy, or is there somebody else who stands out maybe a little bit tougher? What can you tell me about, like, him and what the Rams defense what kind of challenges you'll face there?
Yeah, no, honestly, I would give him that title. I think he is the best defensive player I've ever gone against. And you know, his accolades definitely speak for that. I mean, I don't know how many times he's been the defensive player of the year, but he's definitely well-deserving. He's a guy that you really do have to know where he's lined up on every single play. And we do make adjustments to him, and we're not alone in that. I'm sure every offense does. You just have to be able to account for him and do different things to try and slow him down. You know, and I say slow him down because it's not easy to stop the guy. Even when you do make those adjustments, he's going to make his plays, and you have to understand that. But at the end of the day, you have to make more plays than him. And so he's a tough matchup, and he's not the only good player on that defense either. They have a lot of guys who really swarm to the ball. They play with high energy. You know, they're a very physical defense. And so there's a lot of guys that we have to prepare for, but I think he's definitely number one.
So getting back around to you, you do so much on offense, right? And anybody who's watched even just a handful of 49ers games would attest to this. You could be a lead blocker, taking direct snaps under center, lining up out wide, create a passing mismatch, you know, rushing the ball on a dive play, whatever it might be. What's like the number one thing you look forward to the most where it's like, gosh, I know I do a lot, but I can't wait to do that again. What's like your favorite thing that you strive to do?
Yeah, you know what, I really do enjoy doing everything, and that's kind of been my MO my whole entire football career, is being that guy that can do everything. But there is something special about taking a snap under center, and it's been pretty cool that I've been able to do that 3 times in the NFL. And I was a quarterback in middle school and early on in my high school career, and so obviously those were always dreams of mine of being an NFL quarterback, and I'm definitely not one of those, but I can at least say I was for 3 plays. So I always look forward to that opportunity.
So is there any chance that we'll see a Kyle Juszczyk trick play? You're getting some sort of a toss, and then you're a quarterback and passing it deep. Anytime something like that's coming up anytime soon?
Hopefully. You know what? I hope so. I'll definitely be in Kyle's ear about it. I would love to throw a pass at one point before my career ends. I can't give away anything, so
hey,
I don't know.
Hey, sounds good. If you need to start a petition, let me know. We'll get that started over here just to say, hey, one play, let's get Kyle Juszczyk at least one pass. You know, it'll totally throw everybody off. I'll be on it. So
there you go.
Well, hey, I know that you're super busy. I don't want to keep you all day. I probably could, but I'd probably get in trouble. So anyway, real quick, tell us where fans can find out more about Dick's Sporting Goods, Sports Matter Giving Truck, how they can get involved, where they can learn more about the program.
Yeah, if they go on to sportsmatter.org, they can find out all about the Dick's Foundation Sports Matter program in a number of ways. They can get involved in in-store checkouts as well, and all donations will directly support youth sports programs across the nation in the form of monetary grants, equipment, or facility improvements. So all this is going towards such a good cause, and I think it'd be awesome for everybody to jump on and get involved with this.
Fantastic. You know, that's really awesome you're able to do that. And we certainly thank you. We thank Dick Sporting Goods for having you come on here today and joining Niner Noise. So everybody, give Kyle Juszczyk a follow on Twitter. His handle is @JuiceCheck44, just how it sounds. And with someone who has a difficult to pronounce last name as I do, I certainly can appreciate that. So, hey, Kyle, thanks for so much for coming on. Appreciate it. Appreciate what you're doing for Dick Sporting Goods, the Sports Matter Giving Truck. Looking forward to connecting with you sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Good talking to you.
All right, thank you.
Special thanks, as always, to you listeners for checking out the Niner Noise podcast. But of course, extra special thank you for 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk joining us today. On the podcast, please check out all of his Instagram information and Twitter and all those such things to find out more information about this partnership that he has with Dick's Sporting Goods. Sounds like a great cause. And thanks to Peter for joining us this week. And as always, thanks for listening to the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis, including articles from myself and from Peter and from other talented writers that are on the site with us as well. Please, we would love it if you would rate and subscribe to the podcast and leave us a nice review. Tell us how you think it's going, and we can we'd be happy to continue to bring you good content. And if you can leave us that review, that would be great. And if you leave us that review and ask a question, we'll give you a shout out on the air and answer that question for you. Of course, we would be most happy if you would share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. But until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.